Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is idiocy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
NFL's overtime rule in the playoffs. This isn't just dumb. It's the dumbest rule in all of American sports.
Wow.
The Rich Eisen Show.
So if this was the NFL overtime rule, I would not have a chance to rebut.
This is idiocy.
Today's guests, Fox Sports NFL insider Jay Glazer, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus, from NBC's Keenan, actor Don Johnson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Yes, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We are just a couple of days shy of the big weekend in the NFL for Championship Sunday. This is the Thursday right before it. And joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show here in hour number two in studio, one of my favorite humans on the planet, and everybody needs to get this book that I'm holding in my hand. It is called Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and you can too. Truly one of the more inspirational people I've ever met. He is none other than Jay Glazer. Good to see you, sir.
I appreciate it, brother. Hey, so hold that up.
Yes, sir.
So I think you can see also, and my voice is a little shot, but I think I'm wearing the same shirt here, the same Strahan shirt, the MSX line,
okay,
as there, which just shows you that this is pretty much the only shirt I ever wear, you know, outside, which is, I'm good with.
You know what, Jay? I'm fine. I can attest you are still an evolved person. You have evolved, but you've got your look, and it works for you.
Am I a sit-back guy, or am I a
Are you a lean-forward guy? Are you a lean-forward guy?
I think I'm a lean-forward guy.
Okay, you're a lean-forward guy.
I think I'm a lean-forward guy.
He's a lean-forward guy. He's not a sit-back guy. God bless you.
TJ.
Good to see you. Yeah, TJ, you got that thing covered?
Very good. There we go.
Very good. Congratulations on
this.
Thank
you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
You poured everything into this book, huh?
You know, I did, and you know a lot of the work that I do with our vets and our players with MVP.
Yep.
And I've been really open in that close circle. I'm vulnerable. Look, man, being involved in mixed martial arts for a long time, like, no one's questioning my manhood. So I could cry in the drop of a dime. And what we say in those circles, man, we really help each other. And this was an opportunity for me to help a lot more people than just our close circle and use my own struggles. And, you know, it's so funny, man. I am always so proud of my scars from fighting. So I'm always willing to tell people, yeah, my back's messed up because, you know, Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell are beating the crap out of me. And so I've ruptured L4, L5 four times and L1, L2 twice and herniated C2, 3, 4, 5 and broke that ankle twice and woke up during surgery there and broke this seven times. And man, look, you can see I get excited. Well, now it's time we start bragging about our mental scars as much as our physical scars. That's what we need to do. So without my gray, I call it, my depression, anxiety, I realize I actually wouldn't be where I am right now. Like, it's motivated me to get where I am and to do all these great things.
When did you first realize that you could use it as motivation as opposed to letting it drag you under, Jay?
So, well, first of all, it's my earliest childhood memory. Like, I don't know what it's like to not live in the gray.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your...
I don't know if it's, you know...
When did you start living in gray or realize that you were...
I just don't know another thing. And, man, it's really hard when you live, when you have my level of depression, anxiety, and that's why my darkness is able to help, I think, lead others. So, like, I've got to go through it to be able to talk about it. And, you know, this book is for people like me, but people like, for everybody. We just went through a pandemic. Everybody's going through some sort of gray, right? And social media sucks. So, you know, we all think our lives suck because we're comparing ourselves to everybody else's filtered fraction of a second, and we feel left out. So it's for everybody. But, man, I don't know what it's like to wake up in the blue. Like, I just...
Even today, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So every single day, I wake up, and there's a lot of things I got to do to get myself convinced the sky's not falling, the world doesn't hate me, Everyone's not out to get me. Things aren't crashing because when you have my level of depression, anxiety, you don't feel worthy of being loved, you know, and you kind of can't look at yourself the way everybody else sees you. So you see all that. So as a result of me not really understanding how to love myself from the inside out, I've had to go out and do all these big things to try and get a bunch of love from the outside in. And I'm trying to get it where I could piece together enough of that and enough blue where maybe we meet in the middle and, you know, and I could start feeling love from the inside out. Like that's, I'm a work in progress. I'm still going. And this book for me, it's a healing journey for me also. I'm trying to help everybody else out. But at the same time, man, I still need the help.
How many have you come across in the NFL who have similar issues, Jay?
Harry, you can't be in the NFL and not be crazy. Like, you gotta...
It's one way.
It's true, though, but also, right. Like, anybody who's great, you can't be great and not be crazy. Like, your work ethic, and this is what we tell people in MVP, our charity all the time for guys when they finish up playing in the NFL. Like, you play in the NFL, that's not who you are. Right? What's behind your rib cage
right.
that got you to beat out millions and millions and millions to play on that level, that's who you are. And that's a level of crazy to put that kind of work in and to say, hey, I'm going to put a football helmet on every day and go bang my body into Aaron Donald. Like, you're off. You know, for me, I'm great in chaos. I think these players are great in chaos. Mm-hmm. I suck in calm. So when, man, I was calm, oh, I'm not good, I would take three steps up in a cage with Chuck Liddell, and hey, come kick me in the face. Like, hey, give me more CTE. Like, that's off. I'm off, right? And what I think the problem in the NFL mm-hmm. is they don't talk about it enough. They aren't, you know, it's not being used as a badge of honor like it should be. And that's what I'm trying to get everybody to shift. Like, I'll tell you this. Every single person I have had the conversation with mm-hmm. in the world of fighting, the world of football, whatever it is, I only started coming forward with this in these terms, if you will, within the last 2 years. It's gotten me closer to every single one of them. So anybody who's afraid at home for the shame, I'm guaranteeing you that it will get you closer with someone when you could share. And you never know when you share who's going to come back and say, oh, my God, you? Me too. And I've had an awful lot of that. People, look, I hide it. Great. I'm always laughing. Big personalities.
Yes.
I'm going through life relentlessly. So I've hid it all these years. And I didn't hide my crazy, but I always hid my pain.
Who told you these stories for your book here, Jay Glazer, that that were people were like, yeah, me too. And the story they allowed you to tell
yeah.
or wanted you to yeah. tell or anything like that?
Yeah. So the wildest thing, again, I agree to write the book. People have been trying to get me to write a football book for years. I'm like, I'm not looking over my shoulder for the rest of my life with the sure. secrets that I know.
Right.
But a mental health book, a book where I could be of service, absolutely, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the way I describe my gray, I call it living in the gray, depression, anxiety. Man, I really pulled my skin back and actually, I've actually never said this anywhere else. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I like saying it, but, I stopped going to treatment. My treatment is all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped going while I was doing the book so I could really feel it to describe it to people. And still pulling myself out of that.
Really?
Yeah. It's taken me a year, but I wanted to, now you see, again, the pain.
Yeah.
I wanted to really, I wanted to be fully of service to people. So I wanted to sacrifice and make sure, man, I really got people to understand what your son's going through, your daughter or your wife or husband. I got a message from a grandmother yesterday that finally she has the words to have a conversation with her family. She's never known how to say it, how to describe it. So we talk about mental health, but no one describes it. So now I'm able to describe it here, Ed, and describe it in really, really stark terms. But the conversation In the book, you're referring to when I pulled my skin back, and I really tell people what it was. It was a year ago this week. I was down in Cabo with Andrew Whitworth, who, like, Whit goes through it. Like, Whit, people don't realize it. He's same like me. Like, he uses his darkness to go do great things and be the Walter Payton Man of the Year, which he's beyond that. He's the man of the freaking century.
The left tackle of the Rams.
Of the Rams, the captain of the Rams, right? And, you know, Whit and I were with McVay down in Cabo. I actually went down there.
This was the Stafford, the famous Stafford weekend?
The famous Stafford weekend. When I tell you, Stafford, it was not planned. He literally happened to check in a hotel the next day. And McVay was supposed to leave. He only stayed because, like, Whitworth had a room for me. I was going through some stuff. And Whit's like, hey, bro, what are you doing? Like, we got a room for you here in Cabo. Why don't you come down? I'm like, nah. He's like, why would you not? Like, don't just sit there and isolate.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, okay. So got on a plane, went down to Cabo. McVay said, all right, if he's going to stay, then I'm going to stay. And then Stafford happened to check into our hotel the next day.
And now they're checking into the NFC Championship game.
And, you know, and Stafford likes to say, I said, it started in the hot tub, which we did. And I don't know why he did. And then I went back to, you know, Whitworth's room, but get your mind out of the cover. Not like that.
Right.
And then that's when those two dudes fell in love with each other. And, man, they made it happen right there.
Right.
But the night before Stafford got there, we're at dinner. And McVay's like, man, so – and Whit and I are kind of talking about the darkness, and they're like, man, we're proud of you for writing this book. And Sean goes, hey, so to fully describe this, like, you just wake up, like, sad every day? I said, yeah. He says, why? I'm like, because I have depression, moron. He's like, no, thanks, great. He's like, you know, and then we get, he goes, no, I want to know. And then I said, man, think how much better of a coach you could be if you could really, really understand this. And he's like, yeah, like, how many of the guys in the locker room you think have it? And Whit goes, all of us. He's like, you too? And he's like, yeah, what do you think gets me to, like, go and smash my body every day for 40 years? Like,
so Sean McVay didn't know that Whitworth, right?
And especially from your coach and everybody that, so people are so afraid in the league, like, man, if I show this vulnerability, it's going to be weak and they may cut me. That's the fear. They're not going to cut you, okay? They're going to put their arms around you. They're going to help you. They're going to love you up. Look what happened with Lane Johnson this year.
Calvin,
they cut him.
Calvin Ridley.
Right? Their arms around him. But all the people who reach out, they will help you, and they'll get you closer. There's another player, and teams are now starting to call me about it, saying, hey, can you help us? Can you help us? How do we talk to this person or, you know, give us some insight? Hey, man, just tell him you got, you know, his version of what's happening. That's not the truth. Put your arms around him. Let them know that, because a lot of us think the world's against us when it's not. And as a result, when you think the world's against you, you push the world away from you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you push the world away from you, it's self-fulfilled prophecy. Then, oh, see that? The world is against me. But you're the one doing the pushing. So for this book, when I recount the story, or when I describe to people what the gray, what it's like living in the gray, it's the conversation with Sean that went on for a while. And I said, Sean, think about how much better of a coach you could be again. And he said, well, how many of our players have it? And I said, that's not the question you need to ask yourself. The question is, how many of your secretaries, how many of your scouts, how many of your assistant coaches, how many people in your building, how many people, you just don't know. And, man, it was incredible to see, because Sean, his life's amazing. Like, if I could put someone's life in a pill and make an antidepressant, it would be Sean McVay. And, like, the worst thing that ever happened to him is he didn't win the Super Bowl second year coaching as the youngest coach in NFL history. And his parents look like, they're like the people in the picture frames when you buy pictures, you know, picture frames at Target. So he got it. Man, he got it. And this year, he's called a bunch saying, I'm so glad we had that talk because it's allowed me to be more vulnerable with my team. And a lot of times, too, the leaders, they don't know they could be vulnerable because they got to think, well, I got to be there for everybody else.
Right.
So they lead everybody else, but, man, who takes care of the leaders?
Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and You Can Too, with Jay Glazer. And on the back, you got Guy Fieri, who is just the...
Fieri.
Guy Fieri. Yeah.
The best.
Hey, TJ, Demi Lovato wrote a blurb as well.
Love
in the
her,
back.
Man.
He knows Demi very well.
Love her to death.
Tomlin, Randy Couture on the back, and you could have gotten anybody you wanted, brother.
So Sean Payton has a great quote in the book.
Okay.
In that depression chapter. Because
mm-hmm.
I use a lot of my, and it's not just, this book isn't just about the gray. It's overcoming for business and how I got to where I am in my career and this unbreakable mindset I use for business and for training and for fighting and football. And there's a practical jokes chapter because I use laughter a lot and there's pillars to get through it. And the practical joke chapter is, Howie Long is my muse. You'll see what I've done to him.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, it's fantastic. And,
that's fantastic.
But Sean Payton had a line in that. It said, hurt people, hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that, right? People are hurting. Hurt people, hurt people. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. So I put that in the book. So spoiler.
No, I mean, there's so many stories in here that you've barely even scratched the surface here. It's part of, you know, your career and how you got to where you are. And again, the best part about it is, and you can too. Those are the four important words right there. So everybody get this book where all books are required. We're going to take a break, come back, talk a little bit of football, if you don't mind as well.
A little more football. I got some more stuff to say. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's good. You got it. Jay Glazer right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Well,
I'm not putting the book away, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
Book's on the desk. Jay Glazer here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll pay some bills, come back. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jay Glazer here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take some calls at the end of the hour. Another segment here with Jay. Unbreakable, your book. If there's three items, three messages that you want people to get out of this, go for it.
There's three pillars there, to get through the gray. It's a prescriptive book for anybody at home, right? And number one is find your team. That's what MVP does, right? Mm-hmm. Find your team, right? And my team could be anywhere from my Fox NFL Sunday crew, obviously my fight team. God's my team. Like this, mm-hmm. I have team. Your friends are your team. Your family's your team. There's different teams. Number two, be of service. So I list several ways in the book, even when I was broker than broke. And you know what? I was making $9,700 a year for the first 10 years of my career and tried to outwork the world, so I couldn't get another job, like part-time job to pay the bills. Mm. I had to work 80, 90 hours a week to try and beat everybody else there.
Right.
Covering the NFL and the Giants and then the league. But even then, I found ways to be of service, right? And there's several different ways. Like, I still do it to this day. I'll go to like the 99 cents store and buy toothbrush, toothpaste, handy wipes, deodorant, gloves, pen, paper, socks, and hand them out to homeless. It cost $8. Right? So there's ways to be of service. Being of service, it will lift your soul. And the third one is laughter. And I laugh an awful lot. You guys see me on Fox laughing.
Yes.
A lot of it is, because I want to entertain you at home, but a lot of it is also to mask and kind of mask the pain, but also break through the gray for the blue. Like, I like to say the gray hates laughter. So there's a chapter in there after some heavy stuff. Like, in order to go through the heavy stuff, I got to make you laugh so we can go deal with it. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a whole practical jokes chapter of this: the perils of being friends with Jay Glazer and the crap that I pulled on Strahan and Howie and anybody and everybody you can imagine. Even like the governor of California, I just met him one day. And I have this joke I play where if you leave your phone in front of me, I will take your phone and then text someone from your phone, usually a vile message, and then erase the sent text. So you have no idea you sent it. So I've had Strahan admit a lot of things to people that are really awful. Like, I have no idea why he's still friends with me, except he has no other friends.
Well, because you sent him the vile text and erased it from his phone, Jay.
So Gavin,
maybe that's why he has no friends.
And we meet him one day, and Strahan's telling him what I do. He's, oh, don't ever leave your phone in front of Jay. And a dude leaves his phone right there. Like, 2 minutes later, I'm like, what's his fault?
The governor of California?
Yeah. So I go grab his
Gavin
phone.
Gavin Newsom's phone?
I go grab his phone, and the last guy he was texting was Bill Clinton. I was like, oh, this is great. And Michael's like, no. I'm like, shut up. And Strahan's like, no, shut up. So I start texting, and then Gavin turns around. Oh, my God, and jumps over and grabs it. I was like, it's your fault. We just told you this, you know, and I wasn't able to send it. No, I wasn't able to get it.
Oh, my God.
It would have been it would have been a masterpiece. But
a masterpiece. Wow.
But I don't care. And there's stuff in there.
I don't care.
I got to tell this one. There was one night Strahan and I were out in New York City. And this waiter came over. Man, this waiter was just, he was having a bad day, but he was taking it out on us. So, and it was bad, though. He was just being so not cool to us. So at the end, I'm like, I'm going to mess with this dude a little bit. And I pull out my insurance card, my health insurance card, which looked like a credit card for whatever insurance I was on back then. And Michael's like, stop. I'm like, shh. So I put it in the bill, and the guy comes over. He goes over, and he comes back over. He goes to run it. He comes back over. He goes, I know I'm wearing all white, but I'm not a doctor. And I just deadpan, and I go, I don't get it. And he's like, you give me a health insurance card. I said, yeah, I know. I'm covered here. I said, listen, I'm not going through this again. This is one of the restaurants in my network. I already met my deductible. I'm not going through this again. Please run it again.
And did he do it?
He's like, because I just said it so, like, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael's like kicking me under the table, like, please make it stop. I'm like, no, forget this guy. So the guy, but if you just say it like that, I said, yeah, no, listen, I met my deductible. Dirty, you know, so he goes over, starts running again, and he holds it up to the manager, and the manager looks at him. Looks at the card, looks at him, and he's like, it's a health insurance card. What did? And the guy comes back over. I said, no, I know. I said, look, you were just such a blankety blank to us. I said, I figure you're having the worst edge, and I'll loosen you up a little bit. He goes, what did I realize? I said, complete moron to us. He goes, I'm sorry, but you're right. I was having a horrible day, but you're right. This did lift the up. I'm like, you see that, Stray? I'm a walking blessing.
There you go. Now, when Stray was doing that April Fool's Day gig with his teeth, did you know, or were you like the rest of us were like, he couldn't really do that, like he couldn't get rid of the gap tooth
He did it. He did it, and then he went away on vacation and realized,
he tapped out.
Crap, like. This thing's kind of getting out of hand here.
It did. We were talking about it.
We thought it was real.
Right? And we had a whole segment on the show saying, Urlacher already left the Bald Brotherhood behind. He better not leave. How do you deal with that with Urlacher, man?
No.
Because he left you behind, too.
He left us all behind, yeah. But no, with Stray, I was like, I knew it wasn't real, but I was like, I don't know how you're getting out of this one now, but he got himself out of it.
He was just a big gag, man.
People were like,
I know.
I was okay to have a gap because of you, and now you fixed it. And like, oh, my God.
I know.
Jump off the ship.
I know. He turned that ship around.
I had no idea because he was on vacation. He turned his phone off.
Jay Glazer here, Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and You Can Too, Where All Books Are Acquired. Sean Payton, who you obviously know very well, the grind of coaching, man, it's a serious thing. And again, I don't know if anything that you're talking about in this book plays into what the grind of coaching could be, or because people are like, okay, he left 3 years, $45 million, as long, you know, and you could see he really loved all the people he said goodbye to, because I think he just stopped talking 2 seconds ago from his press conference.
Right, I think it's still going on. So I said to him, hey, bro, your opening thing went on for an hour. And first of all, you screwed this thing up. You want to do, and we talked right beforehand, and he's like, I want to do this Ted Lasso thing. And I was like, and then he comes on, he's like, you know, I love Netflix and Ted Lasso. I said, it's not even on Netflix, bro. It's on Apple. That's like, what are you doing?
Well, it's his movies on it. His movies on Netflix, so, you know.
So, no, Sean and I, man, we started talking about this about 3 months ago. And he kept going back and forth, back and forth. If you watch me doing my, during my coaching carousel on, you know, week 18 of Fox NFL Sunday, I said after, I think, Who's Out, I said, and by the way, you'll probably have another opening or so from, you know, a coach that could step away that, because it's been a tough year or two with COVID, and that's what I was talking about. And he was gonna, he went into, originally we were going to break it that Tuesday, right after, and I was like, he said, but I want, you know, talk to Mrs. Benson. Well, Mrs. Benson told him, hey, why don't you take a few days off and really think about it. So Sean said, you know, I'm not going to do it yet. Mrs. Benson wants me to take a couple days off. Well, a couple days turned into 2 weeks at Cabo. And then when he came back, it was better like, hey, you, this is your story. This is your deal. You know, however you want it to come out, which it should be. If a guy says to me, you know, at first he's like, yeah, you should, I'll let you break it at first. But then if he says, you know what, I want to do this, that's their prerogative, you know, to do that. But we were talking, and the thing too is I didn't want to go full in on it also because he did kept changing his mind.
Yeah, I mean, like you might have said, you know, after all that 2 weeks in Cabo, but I can only imagine just today, just like as I said yesterday, just today he's not has to talk about.
I think I spoke to him this morning.
Yeah, he's have to worry about the combine or what's going on at the Senior Bowl.
I spoke to him this morning or last night. Either one, I was giving you know crap about his 1 hour
preamble.
Opening. Yeah, his preamble
that became an amble.
Yeah,
a post amble.
An amble. There's
everything.
An amble. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So he is. You think he is definitely out for 2022? Because you know a lot of people think that he's just trying to.
Yeah, hustle another. Yeah, but. Even so, if that's the case, you know, he's not going to retire for 3 days and get traded to another team. I don't think so. No, I think he, but I think it's just hard for him. Here's the thing. Again, MVP, it's a charity for transition.
Yes.
So I think he wants to step away, but at the same time, there's probably a fear like, okay, well, I've never not been on a team. I've never not been part. I mean, this is going back, right? High school, college, NFL. He's never not been in a locker room. So I think some of that, too, it kind of jolts you a little bit. So he's like, oh, okay, well, I think I could do this, but I'm not sure I could not be around my locker room.
Well, every coach I've ever worked with, former coach I've ever worked with on television, still has. I mean, you never get that competition wanting to talk to the refs, even if you're, you know, on the sideline or of a broadcast. You know, like And he even said he thinks he'll get back into coaching at some point.
Yeah,
I mean, he also mentioned TV. He mentioned a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's always, I mean, I think he's, you know, mentioned me, you know, a year or two. He said, but I don't know. May go on long. I don't know. I don't know how much I'm going to love this or not love this.
Right.
You know, and I think, too, for a lot of coaches, you know, the losses are so hard on them and their families. And when it gets to the point where you can't enjoy the wins anymore, that's when you got to kind of move it along.
No
right?
question.
And all those guys, you know, Jimmy Johnson will tell you the same thing. And, you know, I haven't talked to Bill Cowher, but I'm assuming they all go through the same thing.
Jim Mora Sr. told me that the loss, the sting of the losses and the depression of the losses lasted so long and was so more intense than the excitement over the wins.
But when the wins stop being exciting, that's when it's time to exhale and take a breath. Right, and that's what happens to a lot of these guys. The losses beat them down so much sometimes.
Happened to Madden, happened to Vermeil.
They can't enjoy the wins anymore.
So do you think that's part of it, what happened with Sean? Or it's
it's just been a lot over the years.
Right.
So this is something, again, he started telling me about 3 months ago. And he was he seemed at peace with it 3 months ago. And then all of a sudden, he'd kind of, you know, 3 weeks later, he'd have an idea, and then, oh, maybe if I, so it, again, or he'd be really excited about something. And
almost made the playoffs.
Almost made the playoffs.
I know. He was in position. Like,
he texts me, he goes, well, the Rams screwed me again.
Speaking of possible rule changes, do you think there's anything to the overtime, the way that thing ended in Kansas City?
We've been in the league for how long?
I know.
This is my 30th year. This is your, how long have you been in this league?
This is my 19th.
Okay. I don't ever remember a year we don't talk about it or it's not brought up. It's not broached at the owner's meeting. It's always. So this isn't something that all of a sudden right now, this is, and they, it's always talked about. And yeah, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it, I don't, having the, you know, a coin toss, the luck of a coin toss, that has nothing to do with your preparation or your team. It has nothing to do with, that's not an even playing field, in my opinion. So it should be, I mean, they obviously we're getting there. We're all, if you only kick a field goal, but I think you should have a level playing field.
Yeah, I, but this is a league, as you know, where.
They don't like change. They,
boy,
well,
do they not.
Changes, yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of like the idea of getting rid of an onside kick, or you could still do it, but you can do one shot from your, you know, 35 on a 15-yarder.
I love onside kicks. I wish onside kicks were easier.
I you know what I mean? It just it changes.
I would love for them also to tell the officials, like, hey, okay, let's not have 30 a game.
Last football question, then we'll return to the book and send you on to your day, sir. How do you think Rodgers is going to play out? What do you think?
I thought he was going to – I was really – like, early in the week I did interviews, and they say, you think Aaron – I said, yeah, I think he goes on, and now I flip-flop the other way. That
you
he stays.
Think he stays?
So, again, it's Aaron Rodgers. So I'm never going to try and predict what Aaron is really – what's going on between his ears. But I was – I thought he was going to move on, and now I think it, there's a I'm more convinced that – I wouldn't be as surprised, I guess, if he ends up staying. And I would have been 3 days ago.
Well, you know, the conversation today, as soon as you leave here, I'm sure it's on your phone all over the place, too, is the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, where, again, you know, all word out of there is he gets it on his own merits. He's his own man.
No, he did crush the interview. Yeah, he crushed the interview.
Okay,
yeah,
which is great. But, you know, what helps is Rodgers, if that whole idea that the Broncos were interested in him on draft day last year – maybe this would be attractive to Aaron to go in a different direction.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Again, that's right there, hitting us square in the face. But I'm just in the conversation, you know, the conversations that I have, I was a little more convinced. Well, again, I would have been, I said 3 days ago, I'd be surprised if he was in Green Bay. Now I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if he's in Green Bay. But I'll probably go back and forth on that as much as Sean Payton did over the last few days. Because the more I talk to people, the more I'm, okay, well, that's, okay, well, and it's people who know Aaron, so I get convinced both ways.
All right, last one for you is, why do you think it is so difficult to share what you're sharing in this book for so many people?
Yeah.
Because
shame. It's the shame.
But who's the one making them feel ashamed?
So Strahan's been my best friend for 30 years.
Right.
It wasn't until 2 months ago that I told him, man, we were supposed to do dinner, and I said, I can't go out tonight. He said, why? I said, man, the beast got out of the box. Man, the monster got me. And, you know, when I have attacks, it's a physical, visceral reaction for me. I feel it here behind my rib cage, in the left side of my gut, and my joints ache like I just had a 50-round fight. It just exhausts me.
And it hits you out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere. This one woke me up in the middle of the night. And it's not always like that. This one was particularly bad.
Is it a dream, or is it just like or somebody says something and it sparks something?
I just wake up thinking my sky is falling and don't know why.
Okay.
I could just fight back against it, and that's it. Like, I'm never going to let this thing win.
Right.
That's it. I will never tap out against this. I'll always fight back against it. And I told Stray, I can't go to dinner, man. I'm just, man, just exhausted. The monster, you know, monster kind of, you know, beat me down here today. And he said, you want me to come over? I said, no. Well, you want to just talk about it? I said, no. And he said, I've been your best friend for 30 years. Why have you never told me about this? That's the first time I ever talked to him about it. 30 years. I said, I don't know, man. I don't make up the rules of this thing. With you, I felt ashamed. Maybe because it's so competitive and it, I don't know, but had I not felt shame, I would have had somebody for 30 years who would, was willing to come over, was willing to talk. That's why we got to take the shame out of us. I'm saying this story right here. You guys don't look at me any differently. You don't look at me any weaker, right? Yeah. So as much as, I'm trying to learn how to brag about my mental scars and have all of us brag about it to be a badge of honor. And I think we're so like I said, we've all been through this pandemic, and social media makes us all think our lives suck. So everybody has some form of gray in their lives. And yes. I think if we could bond together as a team right now and walk this walk together, we could beat this thing behind all the way back into its hole where it belongs to be. But it's a daily battle, man. It's something I'll deal with for the rest of my life. By having more teammates out there, which I'll have now from writing the book,
yeah,
it'll give me the help I need to.
So to say, the first thing is to talk about it. Now you've got this on the mantle forever.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you hear it all the time that mental health or mental illness
yep.
is a sign of weakness.
Hell no.
Okay. Now,
do I seem weak?
Another person who sat in this chair, another person who sat in this chair, Tyson Fury.
Yep. Yes. Exactly.
Same thing. Same conversation talking about the gray or his version of it. And so that's why it doesn't compute. Like, I hear yes. it, and I'm not thinking that person's
it doesn't
weak.
Make any
I'm
sense.
Thinking that person
yeah.
needs help. You know, when I see Antonio Brown tell Bryant right. Gumbel, I don't have, you know, I don't need mental help. Yeah. I have mental wealth. Mm-hmm. I think to myself, that's a sign that this person still can't talk
yeah.
about it or
has to be
feels
authentic with himself. Yeah.
Right. And so that's where I'm yeah. at. And I'm wondering how we get to more people yes. to where I'm at,
even where the days or the periods that things are going great for me, I still have to practice this. Just while we practice anything else in sports, anything else you do in life,
yeah.
mental health, you got to practice it every single day of your life. And we all got to, you know, build each other up, right? And as one of our vets, J.C. Glick, says, we lift as we climb, right? We got to lift each other up. And, yeah, it's certainly not a sign of weakness. And listen, I know people at home go, what's this dude have to be sad about? His life is great. He has money and fame and fortune, and my life is great. I get to sit here with you. And I mean, Don Johnson's on the show.
Yes, he is.
Like, come on. Like, my life is unbelievable. Incredible, but between my ears sucks, and that's just the fact of the matter, right? And it's something that I've got to learn to deal with, and I've got to use to motivate me to, you know what, man, if I did not have depression, anxiety, I would not be as successful as I am. It would not have forced me to go out there and be relentless with everything I want to go get. So, man, for the first time, maybe God blessed me with depression.
Well, to use your phrase, we've got your back.
Thank you.
You know, and everybody in the NFL community does as well. Yeah. I mean, everything that you've done with merging vets and players, and, you know, the Hall of Fame now reaching out yeah. to you to merge their brand
yes.
with yours, and Fox yep. and this book and everything. And, you know, I love you, Jay. I mean, Unbreakable,
love
How I
too,
Turned
man.
My
it.
Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and You Can Too, where all books can be taken. See you next week.
Thanks,
see you
brother.
For the Super Bowl as well.
See you this week.
Excellent.
We got you know,
Sunday.
We got a game that's going on this week.
Yeah, it's pretty
so we'll
big
be
one.
There. We're doing our show from SoFi.
Oh,
yeah,
right down there. We're right across the street from us. Like, you should.
Us, yeah.
Should we have some sort of like Anchorman moment? Like me and Mooch and right. Kurt and Irv.
We come out there.
I don't know. We've got 14 people on the show. Like, literally.
I think we're good. Me, Stray. Exactly. I'll take me, Stray, and Howie versus you guys. We're
okay.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we got Bradshaw on the show first up tomorrow. Right. I could start something.
You can start something.
I could start something.
We got his back. I'm
but
just telling you.
I know that. If you're involved, though, Jay, I will just stay put in my studio. What am I even mentioning? What the hell am I talking about? Check it out, Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression, Anxiety, and Motivation into Motivation, and You Can Too, where all books are acquired. Jay Glazer here.
Love you, man.
See you soon. Love
Appreciate
you, too. Back with your phone calls in a moment right here.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Great chat with Jay, huh?
Yeah, that was so good. That was powerful, man.
Hey, man, I wonder why he thinks Rodgers is more apt to go back to Green Bay, and he says that today is Nathaniel Hackett's hired. Okay.
Got me.
You can make it work, by the way, in the cap. You can absolutely make this thing work. No question about it.
Make what? Rodgers?
Rodgers back and keep Adams back, okay. and
Oh, Adams gets franchise tagged.
Yeah, so he
that.
Can't go anywhere, really.
I don't know about keeping him. But you'd have to sign him beyond this year. You're not just going to let him walk for nothing. You right. got to sign him beyond this year, and that means Jordan Love, adios.
See ya.
You flip him. No question about that.
See ya.
Question, who would take him? You're certainly not getting a one back for him.
Well, you could just keep him.
Do what? Have him be your backup? And
Rodgers has gotten injured midseason before.
And then what? And then let him go after his fourth year? You have somebody with full contractual control and you don't use it at all?
No, then it's probably easier to get rid of Rodgers after next year.
Oh, man. Wouldn't just let him walk for nothing? You got to sign him. That's the whole issue. It's not like Brady, where he can walk now. That happens after next year. And he told McAfee the other day that he's not going to sit out and then come back. I don't think you can do that. Your contract doesn't toll if you just sit out and then come back. I don't think it works that way. This situation, what the Steelers are going to do now that Big Ben is officially done, what happens in Miami when they hire a new coach down there with Tua? Where is Deshaun Watson winding up? What do the Broncos do with Nathaniel Hackett? You just run it back? You see if Drew Locke can work? No. If Rodgers stays put? What happens when Russell Wilson raises his hand and says something over the next couple of weeks? Does he stay put? Do they run it all back after us assuming that they can't stick together and run it all back? The Giants said that John Mara admitted they've done everything to screw up Daniel Jones, but he's got one more year left unless you want to pick up a fifth-year option for him. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson have neither been signed to long-term contracts. What do the Washington football team do? Is Taylor Heinicke going to be their guy for the future? Do they grab one in the
later round?
In the draft? What happens when Minnesota wakes up with their new GM and coach and Kirk Cousins got one more year left on that deal? What happens there?
He might get moved.
I mean, have I hit most of them? I mean,
you like that?
Have I hit most of them? That's why, man, the fact that the Bengals have removed themselves from this process and equation for a long time. The Bills have removed themselves from this process and equation for a long time now. The Chargers have done the same thing. The Cowboys have. What about the Eagles with Jalen Hurts, right? The Patriots have removed themselves from that
Patriots
equation.
Definitely have. Eagles haven't.
I assume the Jets have. The Eagles, I don't know, man. Jalen Hurts had a really good year.
They were close.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He really, really did. The running game was one of the best in the league. Was that and outside of, Goddard and Devontae Smith, who was their guy, right? Who they can build that out. They're waiting for Jalen Reagor. Arcega Whiteside isn't the answer either.
Hurts was only 61% completion percentage.
Look, what did you tell me the other day about Josh Allen?
I think that's a one of one in terms of development.
But it's possible. You could have said the same thing after Josh Allen got one and done in his first playoff season in Buffalo with that overtime loss in Houston. By the way, I'm sorry, Bills fans, man. I mean, hosed on a holding penalty in that one also. And Allen's playoff career, he could have at least a couple more wins under his belt already. But if you told me after that, you're right. Didn't you say his numbers went through the roof?
Allen went from 59% to 69%. Nice. But he won 10 games that
his first year starting.
Jalen Hurts this year won
eight and seven.
No, I mean, and then they took him out. What? You know, he missed one game, missed a couple.
He was 8-7 this year.
I'm not saying he's obviously Josh Allen is a unicorn. I'm just saying that you could make the case that he's the guy there. You know,
I think they in this day and age, if they could.
Well, they've got the three first rounders to make that move. Yeah. They could be the ones to call up Green Bay and say, "Your thoughts?" Green Bay would be like, "We're not trading him in conference. That ain't happening."
Right. I think they're they would be in play for Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, any of those guys.
Who, Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Why does everybody assume that the Seahawks would be willing to send him, Russell Wilson, to Philadelphia or New York? When every single time we have a conversation about Rodgers, they're like, they're going to send him to somebody in the AFC. Why do we always assume that Seattle's got no problem sending Russell Wilson, who's younger than Aaron Rodgers, anywhere except the AFC? Why wouldn't they? You know,
Russell Wilson not playing at an MVP level like Rodgers.
And what if Eberflus decides after year one that Justin Fields isn't the guy?
Oh, my gosh.
Right? What about, we didn't mention Matt Ryan either, did we?
Yeah,
what does Atlanta do?
Matt Ryan could be moved.
This offseason, now, at this point last year, we're saying it's going to be lit about quarterbacks, because at this point...
Matt Ryan to Denver is not bad.
Matt Ryan to Denver? That he gets the Peyton Manning, you know, departure plan?
Veteran player, still has a good arm.
They can have new owners by then?
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan could be on the move.
This is going to be amazing. And we've got an NFC Championship game and an AFC Championship game, otherwise known as Championship Weekend, coming up. Hour three, Kyle Brandt, Bears fan. What does he think of the old Eberflus? And then Don Johnson. How cool is that going to be? Hour three, and you.